Well, I was going to thank Corbin for that, but he left. I don't know if it was the not bathing in 6 months thing that got him or what, but sure appreciate that that effort and sharing those talents with all of us that some of you have. Bill was talking about in his sermonette about Mary being elevated to a very high position. I had a call from a gentleman who was asking about our church. He was from Grand Rapids and asking about what we believe, what we teach. And he was asking about, do you keep the Passover? And I said, yes, we do. And I said, we keep the other holy days as well that Christ and the apostles kept. And he said, I'm not aware of that, those other days. And so we talked about that a little bit. And he said, do you teach the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Mother? And I said, say that one more time. And he said, do you teach the Heavenly Father and the Heavenly Mother? And I said, you know, to be honest with you, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I said, I don't know what you mean by that. And he said, well, you know, we teach about God, the Heavenly Father, but there's also a Heavenly Mother. And I said, no, I said, we don't teach that. I said, we teach God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. And so he said, thank you very much. And that was the end of our conversation. But people have different ideas, and they get them from everywhere. And there's books written, as Bill was reading and talking about all of these different things. But there's a lot of different ideas out there about God and who God is and what he's all about. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. The title of my message today is, Are You or I Getting Too Tired to Stay With It? And by with it, I mean to God's truth, with God's truth to the end. Are you or I getting too tired to stay with God's truth to the end? Many members have been in God's church for 50 years and better. Some have, are fairly new. But as Christians, we know that life can be very difficult at times. And as we talked about in the announcement, some members in God's church are experiencing very difficult times. A lot of trials going on, very serious trials going on. And we have to drop to our knees many times in prayer asking God to increase our faith. Help us to understand. Help us to get through this. Sometimes some trials we go through seem to never end. They go on and on and on. I think about that sometimes when I'm talking with Mr. Rhodes, and I'm thinking, I can't remember. He told me how many weeks it's been now. It's just not him. It's other people as well. You just go, it goes on day after day. But when we think about what the Bible says in the book of James, sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around what James is saying. Really hard to figure out, okay, where did that come from? In James chapter 1 and in verse 2 and in verse 3, it says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Do we count it all joy when we're going through a serious trial? It's very hard to be joyful. We don't think about the joy. We think about how we're feeling pain and sorrow about what's happening to our loved one or happening to ourselves. How many of us follow that scripture to the letter? That we're sitting there in a chair and we're joyful as we look at a loved one of ours suffering. Or we're looking at a very difficult circumstance we're in. When we're going through these serious trials, do we thank God for allowing it? Do we ask His help to get through it? I can't do this on my own. I need your help. I need your strength. I need more faith to get through this trial. Or do we simply pray, Father, please remove this trial. Take it away. Most of us could name members and even family and friends who used to attend church with us. They made a decision to quit, to turn the other way from their faith, And many times we never knew exactly why they quit. What's the reason you quit? But some were honest and just said, it's too tough. It's too tough to be in this church. Too many difficult things to get through. Many times they were ridiculed by their families. You believe what? You're going to church when? You going to the feast of what? They were ridiculed and made fun of by family members, friends, co-workers, classmates, and sometimes their bosses, all because of their religious belief. So they quit. They didn't stay the course. They couldn't take it. But when we understand God's law and strive to keep His commandments, it means that we change the way we live our personal lives. When we understand it, when we understand our calling, when we understand the miracle of God opening our mind to be able to understand these scriptures and put them to use in our lives, when we understand that, if we attended church on Sundays, we stopped. If we celebrated Christmas and Easter, we stopped. If we worked on God's Sabbath, we stopped. If we attended sporting events and other things on the Sabbath, we stopped. If we went out to a bar for drinking and dancing on Friday nights, we stopped. By changing the way we live our lives, we made other people uncomfortable. People who were used to us partying with them. People who were used to us going to the ball games with them. People who were used to us being just like they are. We stopped. And that doesn't set well with some people. It makes them jealous or angry with us because we changed. We began to do something different in our lives. How many old friends do you still hang around with? How many friends before you were called into God's church do you still hang around with on a regular basis? I can't think of any that I do. Because it seems that I changed. You changed. Your friends didn't. What you had in common at one time, you don't have in common anymore. The goals you had at one time may have been the same. That changed. We had to start over again when God called us out of this world into His truth. We had to begin again. But we aren't the only ones that had to do that. We're not unique in that way. Let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and I always look at this as an example of our calling. We're in one place, God wants us in another. Genesis 12 in verse 1, it says, "And now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, move away. I want you in a different place, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abraham doing okay. Living his life there with his family. Doing what he needed to do every day. Working his job. Had friends there. Then God said, I don't want you here anymore. I want you to move. I want you to go to a place that I'm going to send you. That's what He did with you and I. I don't want you doing this anymore. I don't want you to have these same friends. I don't want you to do the same things you were doing. I want to move you to a new place in your life. I want to open up something to you that you haven't seen before. I want to take you someplace. Abraham started his life all over again, just the way God directed him to do. And it isn't easy to lose your family and your friends. It's not easy at all. My friends used to call me preacher when they saw me coming. Of course, a lot of that was my fault because I thought, well, God showed me this. Certainly everybody else needs to know it. But that was a good thing in the end. Because they didn't want me around, really, because they didn't want to hear about God. They had their own agenda that was the same agenda I had before God opened my mind. And it isn't easy to give up or lose a job because of your religious belief. And I may have mentioned that before, but I'd be applying for a job and everything was going well. Seemed like I had the job, and then I would say, well, you know, I can't work Friday night or Saturday. Oh, well, wait a minute. Leave the room and come back and say, you know what? Fred said we just filled that position. Sorry. What can you say? What can you say? The Sabbath is something that people have no thought about. No understanding about, just as we didn't until God opens their mind to understand that. So if they don't understand it, it's meaningless to them. But God's here to help us just as He was to help Abraham in that difficult time. When Abraham, through his faith, was willing to take the life of his promised son. What a trial. To go through. And hopefully, in our prayers should be that God would never put us through a trial like that, that He did Abraham. Abraham, through his faith, was willing to do that. His faith and his relationship had grown so strong through his experiences, through his obedience to God, that he was strong enough through his faith to follow God's direction. And in Genesis 22 and verse 12, God said, Now I know that you fear God. All of those years, from the time God first started working with Abraham and He moved him, and Abraham went through years of building his relationship with God, and it took this, and God says, now I know. Now I know. Can God say that about you or I? We've been in the church 40, 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years. Can God say, now I know that I can depend on you? Now I know where your heart is. Now I know that you fear me. Now I know that I'm number one in your life. Everything you do is built around me. No question about it. But God said, now I know that you fear me since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham was willing to do whatever God instructed him to do because he had faith that God could resurrect Isaac. No doubt. No doubt in his mind. God can do that. God can do all things. And I'm sure God was thanking my good and faithful servant. But what about you and me? Would we be willing to give our child's life if God requested us to do that? Do we have that faith? Again, our prayers should be that we never have to experience that. Never have to go through anything like that. But in Hebrews 11, it's listed. There's a list of all of those who have died in the faith. And Abraham is on that list. Died in the faith. Not having yet received the promise, but seeing it far off. They saw it. And that's what we need to see. We need to have that vision in our minds of God's kingdom. That's our goal. That's what Abraham saw. That's what all of those listed in Hebrews 11 saw. They saw what was there, what their future was. These people who are just like you and me didn't give up. Abraham didn't say, "You got to be kidding, God. Kill my son? Take the life of my son? I don't think so. Not today." But he didn't do that. How do you get to that place? How do we get there? With our faith and our trust. That's where God wants us to be. It's sad when we think of some of our family and friends or neighbors who have turned their back on what they believed at one time. Some of us sitting here today have been made fun of because of what we believe. We've been called Jesus freaks. We've been called stupid, a nut. We've been called all of those at one time or another. Maybe we didn't even hear it, but I would bet we've all been called that, behind our back or otherwise. But to help us deal with an experience like this, all we have to do is think of Noah. God has given us example after example to help us to see we can do this. We can get through this. But when we think of Noah and what he had to put up with during the years, he and his family were building a boat out in the middle of dry land. Would we even answer that call when God said, "Hey, Mikey, you need to start building a boat. It's going to rain right here in my backyard in front of all my neighbors and everybody"? Can we imagine what Noah had to be thinking, what he was going through in his mind when he went home and told his wife, "Honey," or his kids? I know when I come up with some ideas, my kids aren't bashful about telling me, "Dad, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of." Can you imagine what Noah's kids said? For over 100 years, he listened to the insults from his neighbors and maybe even from some of his friends that he used to hang around with, that he used to do things with. He thought they were his friends. Noah changed. He was listening to God now instead of listening to them. He was doing something different. And he may have thought about giving up. How many names can you be called? How much ridicule can you take right in your own neighborhood and not give up? I don't know. What would it take for you and me to give up? Noah didn't give up. He built that ark. He built that boat. And one day it rained, just like he said it was going to. Noah persevered. He didn't quit when people offended him and accused him of being psycho. He didn't quit. Perseverance, it's a fruit that we're all going to need to be part of the kingdom of God. We have to stay the course. Nothing should offend us so much as we would walk out this door. Nothing. And we look at the examples before us. Nothing offended them that caused them to quit. Revelation 3, if you turn there with me. Revelation 3. Revelation 3. I was talking this morning with someone, and we were talking about, you know, all of the things that are going to take place that we read about in the book of Revelation. What we're going to witness, what we may be a part of. And we may be what people think are the cause of all of these things coming on them because of our weird beliefs. We may be the one pointed out to be the problem. That's why we're being cursed, because of all of these things that these people are doing. But in Revelation 3 and verse 7, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works, See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Nobody, that's what it says here, nobody can take our faith away from us. That's what God says. And in verse 10, it says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Because we persevere, we stay the course, we keep moving ahead. Someone knocks us down, we get up and keep going. Someone offends us, we get up and we keep going. That's what Scripture tells us to do. Many of you remember the Seven Laws of Success booklet by Mr. Armstrong. Well, one of those laws was perseverance. Persevere in good times and in bad times. We can't be a part-time Christian. We can't be a Christian when everything's good. Got a good job, making good money, everything's rosy, the family's just wonderful. So I'll be a Christian this week. What about when those times are bad, when I lose the job, when my kids and I don't agree and we're having issues, when my spouse and I don't agree and we're having issues, when I'm having trials with other family members, am I still a Christian? Do I still persevere? The good times and the bad times, we have to stay the course. We need to have perseverance to be successful both physically and spiritually. To be successful physically, we have to continue our education, continue gaining and working on our skills and whatever we've chosen to do. Spiritually, we need to grow in the Word of God, to grow in our faith, to learn to trust God, put God first. I was talking to a young person about baptism and just trying to explain the commitment. Count the cost. Count the cost of what you're going to do here with baptism. And right now, and I think it'll change, but right now I don't think they saw that was important just by some of the things they were saying. But if we can't put God first in our lives and center all of our lives around God, we haven't counted the cost either. We have to do that. We may lose a friend. We may lose a job. We may go through some difficult times. But we can never, never turn our back on God. Never put God second to anyone or anything. A Christian who has perseverance will endure till the end no matter what they have to go through. We see that. We saw what the disciples went through. They were right there with Jesus Christ doing and fulfilling the commission that Christ gave them. And the trials they went through were horrific. Right up to death. Their faith didn't waver. They endured. They persevered. 1 Corinthians 10, if you turn there with me. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Trust God. Trust God. Go to Him for the help to get through the trials that we're going through. God knows our heart. God knows us inside and out. But Paul's providing here a word of comfort to the Corinthians. Because these temptations they were experiencing were normal. They were trials and temptations that were everyday occurrences. And all Christians throughout the ages have had to resist temptation. That isn't something for our generation. It goes back to when man was created. We have to resist temptation. And Paul went on to explain that God's so good that he will not let us experience anything he hasn't prepared us for. If we're here and we're studying God's Word and we're drawing close to God and we're building our faith and we're building a strong spiritual armory or armor, we can endure trials. We will endure trials. God has given us the strength. God has given us the tools to make it through. He will give every Christian the grace and power to endure to the end. He won't leave us. God won't do that. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That hope that we have, nothing more powerful than that hope that we have in our future. And in verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That hope that we understand through the Holy Spirit of God to be eternal life in the God family. Satan wants to know what it'll take to get us to quit. What will it take to knock you down and you don't get back up? You're down for the 10 count. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says Satan walks around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. What will it take to get you to quit? What will cause that? That something happens that you or I say, enough. We've had it. Not going another day. Walking away. Sickness. Problems keeping the Sabbath. Losing our family. Losing our job. Money problems. Marriage problems. A brother or sister in the church offended us. Satan will take any one of these problems and use it against us. He will magnify that problem, and he'll whack us right up beside the head and knock us to the ground, and hoping we will stay down for the count. But in Hebrews 13:5, God says he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. If anybody leaves, if anybody turns their back, it's going to be us. God will not do that. Let's turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. 11th chapter of Hebrews. Faith. An amazing thing. Faith. Faith that God's given us. Begin in verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson. And Jephthah, or whatever, also of David and of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weaknesses were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance if that might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of who the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. What examples we have of people going through horrific things. Things we can't even imagine. But they got through those trials. They got through those things because of their faith. And don't make a mistake of thinking that some in God's church haven't had severe trials, because they have. And they are. People in God's church are going through a lot. But we have that hope. We have that strength through God's Holy Spirit to get us through those trials. We have someone to turn to. A week or so ago, I did my niece's funeral. And that was what I wanted to talk about, these things, but with the people that were there, it was very difficult because, as I told them when I began my message there, I'm not here to take you to church. And I wasn't. They didn't want to go to church. They had other things on their mind. But what I wanted to share with them, that my niece is going to have another opportunity, the same opportunity they all will have, that I will have, that every human being that's ever existed will have. And that's the hope of the resurrection, when we get an opportunity to live a life in a world that isn't failing, that isn't doing things contrary to God. And that hope is the key. That hope is what binds us all together. We're here because of that hope. Don't quit is what the Bible continues to say. Don't quit. Perseverance is when you and I keep getting back up every time we get knocked down. Every time we have a bad day. Every time somebody ticks us off. Every time somebody says something to us that just cuts us to the core, we get back up and we continue on. Because God didn't do that. God would never do that to us. But we're human beings. We make mistakes. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. And we have to go repent of that. But we have to continue on. Thinking about the return of Christ. Just thinking about that. We get so excited just anticipating that day. We don't know when it's going to be. Jesus Christ didn't know when it was going to be. But we do know one thing, it's going to happen. And we anticipate that day. No more corruption or greed. No more sickness or dying. No more hunger or pain. No more lying to or hating others. No droughts, plenty of water. Can we even imagine? When you see the news now, floods here, everywhere. It's crazy. The weather's crazy. All of this stuff going on all around this world. Those things won't be happening anymore. That's the hope that we have. The Feast of Tabernacles is a special celebration every year that was kept by Christ and the disciples. And it's still kept by God's church today. Don't we all get excited anticipating the feast? We're going to a new site this year. We're going to do something different. We're going to go with somebody different. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But the main thing is we go and we learn more about God. We get to experience meeting different people, hearing about their lives, hearing about some of the trials they go through. We find that there's more people that need our prayers, that need us involved in their lives by getting on our knees and asking God to be with them. But the feast is an exciting time, and we anticipate that from the time the feast ends until the new feast begins. That's how we should feel with the return of Jesus Christ. Can't wait. Can't wait till Christ comes back and makes the changes. Till he takes everybody, just like he did Abraham, just like he did us, and he changes everything. He changes the way they think. He changes the way they live. Teaches them the right way. Teaches them that God is first. And we should anticipate that day, every day of our lives, asking God, thy kingdom come, every day. Thy kingdom come. William Barclay, in his commentary, talks about perseverance and endurance. For the Christians, he says, persecution and trials are not the end. Beyond them lies the glory, and through the hope of that glory, he can endure anything that life brings to him. That hope. That hope. That's what keeps us going. He goes on, it sometimes happens that a person has to undergo a painful medical treatment, but they gladly accept the pain and discomfort because of the renewed health and strength that it brings. It's one of the basic facts of life that a person can endure anything so long as they have something to look forward to. And the Christian can look forward to the ultimate joy of the kingdom of God. Mr. Barclay goes on to say that this is the recipe for endurance. When life is hard and faith is difficult, a person can stand up to things because of the greatness we can look forward to. Because every trial is another test to strengthen and to purify our faith. And because at the end of it, Jesus Christ is waiting to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We'll continue to face trials and difficulties. We will. All of our life. That's a part of our life. Being flesh and blood Christian isn't easy. I never remember in my calling, maybe you do, but having a vision of or hearing a voice saying, this is going to be the easiest thing you've ever done. It's not. It wasn't for anybody. It certainly wasn't easy for Jesus Christ to come and live a sinless life and then take our sins upon himself and give his life for us. It was not an easy thing to do. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Talking about us, folks. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. People will make fun of us. They will ridicule us. Are we prepared to handle that? Are we prepared to get knocked down? But more than that, are we prepared to get back up? Will our next trial be the one that allows Satan to take us out? Well, the next time somebody offends us by something they said or did, will that be the time that we quit coming? The next time we go through a serious health issue with our family or ourselves, will that be it? Financially, job-wise, all of these things, all of these trials that are out there that face us or that we face, will that be the one that causes us to quit? God is preparing us as we study his word and humbly obey his commandments to be spiritually tough. We don't have to be physically tough. It's not necessary. But we do have to be spiritually tough. because it takes that toughness to deal with the trials that we deal with. It takes that toughness to make decisions that we make as Christians that maybe aren't the decisions that are going to make our family happy or our buddies happy or anybody else happy other than God, because that's what counts. Are we pleasing God? In all that we do, are we pleasing God? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ was explaining a spiritual lesson to some of his disciples. He was teaching that he was the bread of life. I'm the answer. I'm the way to eternal life. You'd think that would go over very well, but it didn't go over as well as it should have. Let's turn to Matthew 6. That's not the right place I want to be. Well, anyway, I must have faked my way through that last time I gave this message. But anyway, what he was doing was trying to bring things from a physical level to a spiritual level, getting his disciples to understand, I'm the way to eternal life. I'm what's going to get you there. Through me, you will gain eternal life. And they couldn't understand that. As he used the analogy of being the bread of life, they couldn't get by the physical to the spiritual because it just wouldn't penetrate their mind. So they turned and walked away saying, this is too hard. This is too hard. I can't do this. We've heard people say that in the past. We've heard members who used to attend with us say, this is too hard. Can't do it any longer. It isn't worth it. Were they getting the spiritual vision that all of those in the book of Hebrews had? They saw the promise. They saw their future. They saw eternal life. Not having yet received the promise, but seeing it afar off. That hope that's within us. So are you or I getting too tired to stay with God's church until the end? You know, the simple answer to that question is this. We'll never give up and we'll never quit. That's the answer God wants to hear from each one of us. We'll never give up. We'll never quit.